Karen, thank you for such a wonderful sharing of your experiences and your now speaking out to help others in your advocacy work that you do. The questions that you and I discussed before that you wanted to share with people, I'd like to start with, what do you think is the best way for survivors to start speaking out and getting involved in raising public awareness?
Well, I believe that each survivor will figure out what's best for her or him, but some suggestions might be to contact a local rape crisis center, because they're always looking for survivors who are willing to speak publicly and tell their stories. Lots of times there are certain issues that need to be made public before the media. And the media a lot of times won't cover an issue without a survivor to interview. So that might be one way to start. Another way that helped me was speaking at local colleges. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and many colleges around the country have something called the Take Back the Night. And so that might be a survivor's first opportunity to speak publicly, but in a setting that is safe and where there are other people who can understand what she or he's been through. So it might be a lot easier to talk about it for the first time.
Where do you think are the best resources for survivors to get support?
Well, in this day of the Internet superhighway, the Internet is an excellent resource. It's a way to get support anonymously. I happen to also support RAIN, the Rape and Abuse Incest National Network, and they have a 1-800 toll-free number, and they can connect the survivor to resources in her local community. There are always things in the library that you can read, and like I said, your Rape Crisis Center is a wealth of knowledge and support.
And for all our listeners, the RAIN phone number is listed at voicesofcourage.com on the Internet. If you did ever want to contact RAIN, or you can go to rain.org. It's RAINN.org. In your story, you mentioned that you live in the same house as the assault and that that's important to you. How does that affect your daily life?
Yeah, it's funny. I get that question a lot. People say, well, how can you still live there? Aren't you afraid? Well, you know, I believe that to run and to try to hide, first of all, is useless, because with the Internet, and if you have a license, you can be found anywhere. But more importantly, for me to change my life and to stop doing what I love to do still gives Ron power over me, and I just refuse to do that. I have to believe that he's moved on with his life as I have, and I just choose not to run and not to hide. And I think that my best protection is speaking publicly.
You also mentioned that you have to believe that he's moved on, and you told me that you wanted to share, or a lot of people often wonder, what your current feelings are toward your ex-husband.
That's a great question. I guess they're ambivalent. There was a time in my life when I always wanted to know why, and I was trying to figure out what did I do to deserve this to happen to me? What would make him do this to me? And as I've moved on in growth and become a survivor, the reasons for why he did what he did are not as important to me. I sometimes wonder what he looks like. I mean, is he fat? Is he bald? Is he gray? I don't even know if I'd recognize him if he passed me on the street. I mean, it's been 11 years. I don't know how I'd react if I ever saw him. But I actually think that he paid for his crime in jail. I hope that taught him a lesson. And as long as he leaves me and those that I care about alone, I really don't wish him any ill will.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for being willing to open up and share your experiences, and the work that you continue to do now is just fantastic. And thank you for everything you've done for this book and the CD.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, because like I said before, we have to speak out, especially for those who can't.
Thank you.